What's up, everybody? We are back. This is Unchurching, Healing Religious Trauma and Owning Your Spiritual Identity. My name is Titus Glenn, and I am your host, and this is the place where we talk about deconstructing your faith, owning your spirituality, and healing religious trauma. Now, today, guys, we're going to take it back just a little bit because I was having a conversation with a friend and it just brought up so many other things that we could talk about concerning people pleasing. So I want you to stay tuned, get your pen and your pad. Let's talk about it. Let's dive right in on this episode of Unchurching, Healing Religious Trauma and Owning Your Spiritual Identity.
Find yourself, be yourself. And let others do the same. Find yourself, be yourself. And let others do the same. Find yourself, be yourself. And let others do the same. Find yourself, be yourself. And let others do the same.
We are back. I don't know where that came from, but I guess it needed to come up and out. Y'all, thank you for just being here in this moment, allowing me to share my journey, talk to other people on their journey, or who have maybe found some resolve in where they are in their spiritual walk. And I just want to just thank you guys for those that are tuning in. So check this. I was talking to a friend and they were letting me know some things that were going on in their world and some things that they were navigating through and feeling a little disappointed. And I was just kind of sharing with them based upon what I've walked through. And it really brought me back to this place of people pleasing, because in the moment that I was talking and sharing with them, we were talking about church and we were talking about why do we serve in the capacity that we've served, because in church we've been taught to give and give and give and give regardless of how we feel about it, even from an early age, giving until it hurts. If it's not offering, it's tithe. And I believe that has played over into making people feel good, but not necessarily making sure we are okay in the process of making other people feel good. And so that landed us here tonight in talking about people pleasing, because I feel like I still battle with this, wondering if I do this, will it be okay? If I don't do this, if I don't say that, and am I going to be penalized by them or by other things? And I am in a space of wanting to move differently. And I'm in a space of wanting to feel empowered and not disempowered because I chose a different route. And so let's just get into the first point that I want to make when it comes to, or going back to, people pleasing, is when you are trying to break that space of pleasing others, there are some things that you have to do. It might be uncomfortable, but you have to get to the point to where you can do this. The first thing that you have to do is set boundaries. Now, when I'm talking about setting boundaries, I'm talking about doing what works for you. Checking on your mental, checking on your physical, checking on your emotional space, checking on your financial space before you give to other people. And sometimes I know it's about you give out of faith and believing in trust, but there's often times where we don't have an intention and we don't have a faith motive. We're just giving because that's what we have been trained to do. And so when I say that, I'm not just talking about money when I switch over to just giving. I'm talking about your time. I know plenty of worship leaders and pastors that don't take off because they feel like they have to be in that place. And I want to tell you, and what I've learned is that the boundary that I have created is that if I don't have it, I'm not going to give it. If that's my attention, if that's my time, if that's my money, if I don't feel led to do so, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to continually to make withdrawals from myself, knowing that those people that are asking and that continue to ask do not replenish. And I think oftentimes, especially when it comes to church, we've been asked to give, but when we go to help or go ask for help, there's nothing to pull from except to go to the altar and pray about it. But how can I pray about it? Why should I? No, let me say it a different way. If I'm giving to the place that's feeding me, that if I go to that place, then their expectation would be that that place should be able to offer some type of help in the capacity that I'm giving and supporting what I am assuming is pouring back into me. But that's just my take on it. I think there's various ways you can look at that. But when we're looking at the bottom line of creating a boundary, you have to check what you have, and your answer can be no. And it's okay to say, no, that doesn't work for me. I believe that's how we're getting into this place of having rotations of praise and worship leaders. And I think one day we might have rotations of preachers and pastors who are rotating their staff because people are getting burnt out because they have not learned how to set practical boundaries. Now, let's step outside the church, because I feel like this crosses over into work life, family life, all other lives, because we've been conditioned from a very, very early age to just go, 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 do, do, do. But we don't stop and say, wait, I don't have that to give. So when it comes to work, man, if you have a day that you can take, take it for your mental health. If you have a moment and there's family that's pulling at you, it's okay to say, you know what, I don't have that to give today. And maybe you don't say that wording. Maybe you just say no and not explain anything. Because I think that's another thing that we do when we're creating these boundaries. We try to over-explain things that we're doing. Again, I think that goes back to people pleasing, trying to make sure that they're good with the boundary. And let me just tell you here and sit this right here. They do not have to be good with your boundary. What that's really going to tell you, if they are supportive of your boundary, right? And it's going to allow you to see if you can really work or keep that boundary with that person. And if that person continues to test your boundary, you might want to consider changing that relationship with that individual. Just something that I would consider personally. Because those boundaries, when people love you, they don't try to push or cross that boundary. They're more aware that, hey, what am I doing to not cross that boundary so that you can feel safe in your boundary? And I feel like oftentimes when we're trying to please people, we continue to let them cross the boundary. And then when we don't cross, when they do cross the boundary, we don't correct them for crossing the boundary. You have to put your foot down when you are setting boundaries, not just at church. This is at work. This is in other religious spaces. This is other communities, wherever you are. your boundary is your safe haven so that you can walk through and learn what works for you. And not just what works for you, it's a protection mechanism. You hear me? So I want to encourage you to start setting boundaries, checking in with yourself first, asking yourself this question: does this work for me? Am I doing this just to appease them, or am I doing it because I'm okay with doing it and I want to do it? And if you don't want to do it, you may want to check in with yourself to see if you should do it. That is creating a boundary. And if they cross that boundary, be bold enough and courageous enough to let them know, hey, you crossed the boundary. And if it's something in the framework of you told them not to do something, but now they're coming to ask you to bail them out of something that you did because they're used to tapping in and pulling on you for help, that could be another boundary. I told you no. I told you not to do it. You do it. You did it anyway. You're going to have to work on how to fix that situation that you created. And that's it. No explanation needed. Okay, I'm trying to get all of my words out. You hear me? So the second thing is, we talked about boundaries. I want to talk to this next point of knowing your worth. Because I feel like a lot of times we people please because we're looking for validation. We are looking to be validated by people because more than often, we were never validated in the stages of growing up that we needed that validation. When you're a child, you really long to be loved. You really long to have those words to really give way for you to be concrete in who you are. But what I am observing is that a lot of people never got that validation. So when it comes to wanting to be accepted and wanting to be around community, around people where they feel loved, they tap into doing things just so they can. Y'all know what I mean. I don't know why I got stuck there. Just so they can, or you can, feel validated. So if it's your pastor asking you something, if it's your spouse asking you something, if it's your children asking you to do something, you may not do it because you want to, but you will do it for the validation. You will do it for the sake of feeling accepted. And what I was telling my friend in this space of knowing your worth and checking in where you feel like you need to be validated, the tool that I gave this person was about validating your own self. This is crucial because when you learn that you can validate your own self, and not just learn that you can validate your own self, but when you tap in to how that feels and you tap into owning everything that you're saying about yourself, it gives you assurance and it gives you the ability to counsel out what other people think about you. Because the truth is, at the end of the day, regardless of what people say about you, is really what you are saying about yourself that matters. So I'm going to tell you guys to say the same way that I told my friend. Start validating yourself. Start getting up in the morning, starting with your affirmations and declarations and speaking to yourself in the mirror and just speak those things that be not as though they were. If you don't feel beautiful, say I am beautiful or handsome or gorgeous or whatever your wording is. Start making that a space or a moment that you do on a regular basis. And when you do something, that is powerful, or even just something that you know you're proud of yourself for doing, don't be afraid to pat yourself on the back. Like, there be times where I'm in my house singing and I'll be like, Titus, sing. Or Titus, you did that. Like, when I'm working on content and I am doing those things that are pushing me to do the things that I love, I'm starting to tap in more to affirm my own self. Because regardless if somebody liked the post, or regardless if somebody think I look nice that day because I fitted myself well, regardless if I get any of that, I have it within my own power to tell myself and to affirm myself. So I want to encourage you that as you are navigating out of this space of people pleasing, start to validate your own self. Start to affirm your own self. Start to compliment who you are and what you got going on. And if you're courageous enough, hug yourself. Hug yourself. Those people that are needing physical touch, I've had to learn how to hug myself and go to sleep, not calling nobody and asking them to come over so I can have a warm body in the bed, but really tapping into that everything I need, I have. And that includes affection. That includes validation. That includes affirmation. And I can do that. I can do that for me without having to do things to jeopardize my energy and my confidence, and not allowing or waiting on other people to do that for me. So I'm talking good. I'm just going to affirm myself right here, right now. I am talking freaking good in this 2-bedroom apartment in my house as I am recording this here podcast of Unchurching. Titus, you're doing an amazing job, okay? Let me go ahead and affirm myself, because we need that as human beings. We need the words of affirmation. And if people are not giving it outwardly, I wonder if that is a reflection of what we're saying to ourselves. So I'm going to leave that there, because that's getting into something else. So go back to knowing your worth and then affirming that. If you don't know your worth, start speaking those things that you want yourself to be, or you want yourself to feel like. All right. The last one, guys, as we truck along, is ownership. Ownership. And this is really, really big. And what does this look like? This looks like you being able to take ownership of everything that is happening in your life. Because what I was hearing my friends say was, well, they made me do it, or they won't let me do this. They won't do this and they won't do that. But here's the thing. What part are we playing in creating those scenarios? A lot of times, most often, people are only doing what you allow them to do. If you allow them to keep on asking you, if you allow them to continue to cross that boundary, that's a part that you are playing in recreating this need or this space of appeasing them, because you're not owning the fact that you are allowing it. You are allowing them to take over, take control, because you're not setting a clear boundary as to what you want. You are allowing them and having access to you when you could potentially cut the access off. You are allowing them to call you only when they need something, because you continue to pick up the phone. What if you didn't pick up the phone? What would that look like? And some of y'all, that'll be like, oh, I will feel bad. But why? Why feel bad? Take ownership of that. Take ownership of what you are allowing in your space. Because once you take ownership of everything that's happening in the space of you people pleasing, you have more control. When you continue to put things and people and say it's their fault, you are giving your power away. You are giving them control over how those situations are unfolding. And let me tell you here, if someone else is in control, you cannot put that on them because you've given them control. Again, that goes back to you owning your sugar, honey, iced tea and everything that you are allowing and creating and that's happening to you. And some would say it's not happening to you, it's happening for you. So if you don't like what you see, take ownership because you are creating it. You are creating it. And once you start to sit in that and say, you know what? I'm allowing this. I can do something different. I got a situation right now to where there's a particular person that reaches out to me. And every time they reach out, it's like a toxic thing. And I was playing into it. It was like cat and mouse, cat and mouse, cat and mouse. And then I decided, you know what? This keeps on happening because I keep on doing something to cause it to happen. So you know what I did? I started ignoring messages. I started purposely ignoring the messages because I realized I was creating the same scenario. And once I took ownership, I'm realizing even more that I cannot blame them for what I am co-creating with them. But I can choose how I move differently. I can choose my actions and how I act in those spaces. So, y'all, I hope y'all got some good nuggets out of this conversation tonight when we're diving into people pleasing. Because when you free yourself from people, this legit changes your life. It might change your circles. It might change you going to different venues because people move differently when you don't allow them to have access to you, especially in the realms of them taking more than they're giving. So I want you to just remember these three. You got to create boundaries. You got to know your worth. And knowing your worth comes with validation. Knowing how to validate yourself. And then you have to have ownership. Owning everything that you are creating. Okay. So before we get out of here, let's just dive into a quick meditation. Okay. So I want you to stop the recording and you can come back to it. And I want you to close your eyes. Clear your thoughts and just focus on your breath. And you're just breathing in normally as you would and then breathing out. Just continue to breathe and then breathe out. And the affirmation that we're going to use today is simply, I am worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. And then we're going to add another affirmation in there. And we're going to simply say, I am loved. I am loved. I am loved. And when you're ready, come back to your breath. And open your eyes. And y'all, that is our show. That is our show on Churching, Healing Religious Trauma, and Owning Your Spiritual Identity. Now look, next week, the episode, I can't wait to share it. We're going to start talking about religious trauma in the church and what that looks like. So if you're watching this podcast, I have a very special guest. He has a doctorate in metaphysical counseling, and we did some deep diving into religious trauma in the church. So come back next week, and if you haven't done so already, please follow me on all social media, Titus Glenn Official. And if you have topics you guys want to talk about, find me on social media, inbox me, and let's get to talking and create these safe places that we can have these conversations. Until then, you guys be blessed, take care, and have a great, great rest of the week. Peace.
Find yourself, be yourself, and let others do the same. Find yourself, be yourself, and let others do the same. Find yourself, be yourself, and let others do the same. Find yourself, be